Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware.
And I'm going to do this all over again. I want to tell everyone, first of all, thank you so much for listening to this wonderful series. It has been such a great adventure during this incredible time that we're in right now of groundwork for new beginnings to happen, and that's what we're going through on the at this particular time in the universe, which is all exciting. And so if you go to the website right there, which is theawareshow.com/SARK, S-A-R-K, this is your audience dashboard. This is your ability to be able to ask questions, comments, and so forth during the show. And at the bottom there, you'll see the ability to also purchase the entire series clicked there. And the reason I was mentioning that this is an incredible time in the universe, this is a great time, as I've heard, for laying the groundwork for projects and ideas that will take place in the new year with grand scale. So whatever you're learning and practicing or teaching or exercising now, it will expand times a million in the new year. So do it with consciousness, of course. And one of the great ways to do that is listening to the 24 guests that we've had on the series. It's coming to the end, which I'm sad about. And it's okay because we'll stay in communication always. But just to wrap up the series in this week is it's a wonderful thing to do because we're doing it with Sark, who is all about beginnings and ends, who starts and finishes and has done that many times in her own life. So joining us, my guest today is Sark. Her name stands for Susan Ariel Rainbow Kennedy, an inspiration to women all around the world and people all around the world with her colorful books by wonderful titles called Wild Succulent Women and all sorts of terrific titles and products and books and so forth. Welcome to the show, Sark. How are you?
Thank you, Lisa. I'm fabulous. And
I did it all over again.
I'm so proud of you. What a great summit.
It is. It has been a fabulous summit. We've had Wayne Dyer on and Greg Braden and Carolyn Mace, who was gentle on me this time. Which is good. It's been a great series, and it's terrific to have you on. I'm honored because I've interviewed you several times on my radio show. You've brought me to tears with your story, and you have inspired so many people with your story, and you continue to do that on a daily basis, too, because you're every woman also. You're every woman.
And I'm every man, too.
Okay.
And I'm every cat.
So every cat, exactly. How's your little fluffy kitten? Cat?
Oh, well, my kitten, my cat is a spirit guide now, Jupiter. He's actually an oracle on my website, and he has unbelievable answers, and he asked to be an oracle and provide answers. So that's what he does now.
Probably really does, too.
He's much larger than a cat body now.
Well, that's good. He's a universal cat body. Have you heard anything about this particular time or this opening, this cosmic opening that's been occurring at the end of this year as we approach 2012 and all that? I mean, are you connected with that content at all, or are you in touch with that energy? Or is it
not only am I in touch with it, I'm leading the way.
Okay, I thought so.
No, I'm so glad you were speaking of it because I've waited my whole life for the world to be like it is right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a cool thing to say.
Well, people are not just waking up, but people are doing new things in new ways like I've always wanted to see. And yeah. I may have talked to you about this, Lisa. It's a little bit it's a little bit, what would be the word, risky to talk about, but I feel like your people will get this. I didn't have past lives as much as I had future lives. So wow. I have profound memories of the future and what we were doing there, and I'm so excited for what lies ahead for everyone.
Wow, can you share any of that with us? Because that, I'm sure people will pop as they resonate with it.
Well, I'll just tell you, like, you know, I have, it's mostly memories of you know, we didn't, it's so amazing. I mean, the things we're doing now are like the Stone Age. I mean, you know, these computers, I mean, we didn't do any of that. There wasn't the need to eat the way we eat. There wasn't, I mean, you know, it's, all I can say is we are in a fantastic time and it's only going to get better.
When you say that the computers are the Stone Age, you're speaking from the perspective of the future looking back?
Yes.
Tell me more. I mean, what else?
Well, we just didn't use boxes or devices. You know, there wasn't the need for that. It's like energy sources, were renewed by things like blinking.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't talk about it very much because sometimes people are like, well, that's just too out there. But now it's getting really exciting because so many more people are starting to share what could be considered as really out there. And
you know what, Sark, you have such an amazing history and story, and to go from where you came from to here, you have complete credibility to speak about something like this. If you could, actually, I'm going to take you back to the past, if you don't mind. And,
I don't mind
you
at all.
And I know, and that's the most amazing thing about you. And share a little bit about where you did come from, and then I want to revisit this future conversation because this is fascinating to me, and I'm sure it's going to be fascinating to others. But Sark's been on my radio show, the Aware Show radio show, here for a long time, and Los Angeles has been on a couple times and shared her story with us. And for anyone who's come from a tragic past, you can find a sister in Sark.
Well, thanks, Lisa, and I would reframe
that.
Yeah, I would reframe that a bit to say if you've come from a past that I would describe as the marvelous, messy middle, where it has tragedy and it has magic and it has love and it has challenge all woven together, because that's really the background that I came from.
Wow. That's an amazing perspective. So, yes, you had a little of this, a little of that. You found the magic within it. I think you were around, was it 8 years old when...
Let me start this way. I came home from first grade, and I said to my mom, Mom, show and tell should be me every day. And she said, honey, you know, the other kids need a chance. And I said, well, they don't. They hate it, and they're begging me to do it. Nobody wants to do it, but I'm being shown all these things to share. And luckily I had a really neat mom, and I had a really neat teacher, because they had a meeting, and they came up with a plan for me to go to a different grade every day.
Wow.
So I always joke and say that's where I got my speaker's training, because when you're in first grade and you're standing in front of a room of sixth graders, you've got to be really good.
Oh, my God. You were probably adorable.
Oh,
yeah.
I was adorable.
What did you talk about?
Well, every day I was shown things. I realize now it was my inner wise self, and I want to talk about that on the show today, was guiding me and bringing me things to share with other people that would inspire and enlighten them. So that was going on then.
And stories and things, wow.
Yeah. And then I had
a very open heart, too. You had a beautiful open heart at that age.
Well, yes, and still do, I'm so happy to say.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then my older brother, who was 4 years older and really my best friend, and showed me how to catch snapping turtles in the creek and went on adventures with candles in the woods and, you know, just all the magic that can happen. When I was 7, it seemed like he became really almost a monster overnight because he started abusing me. And it turned out years later we found out that he was being molested by the next door neighbor. So he went on then to be an abuser, and I lived with that for 7 years in the family. Now, that was obviously devastating, and it was also an opportunity for, again, my inner wise self, who helped me in all kinds of ways, like, you know, told me, go build a fort in the apple tree branches in the backyard and bring your books up there. And I basically moved in up there in the apple tree branches. And then I had another wonderful, I was guided to meet a man in the neighborhood who became one of my, he actually became my best friend when I was 10. And he was 80 years old, and he was so kind to me, and he just loved me. And I went over to his house every day after school. And it was a place where I could just be safe and loved and just, it was amazing. And he told me he wanted to teach me to look close and look far, so he brought me a microscope and a telescope. And then he got really sick, and he went in the hospital, and my mom said, you know, you have to be ready. His name was Mr. Boggs. And she said, Mr. Boggs is probably not coming back. He's 80, and he has a lot of health conditions. She was trying to prepare me, you know, and I said, well, then I need to make something for him every day that he's there so he knows that I love him. And I did, and I sent something every day to the hospital for a month. And he did get out, and he said, I think you saved my life. He said, no one else called or wrote while I was in there.
Aww.
He said, and I had to get out to see you.
Aww.
And I ran in the house and said, Mom, I'm supposed to be a beacon of hope and write books for the world. And then she said, eat your peanut butter sandwich.
And look what you did.
Right. And so, you know, the incest stopped when I was 13 or 14, when my younger brother was born, who really appeared like an angel in our family and in my life. And he and I are still very close to this day. And I did go on to do a lot of psychotherapy and self-healing, and I have forgiven my older brother and the next-door neighbor who abused him. And so really, the story, you know, transformation and alchemy are the practices I use now and share with other people about, and that's why I want to talk to people about their feelings and how to really transform and alchemize any feeling. So...
Well, And I also want to ask you real quickly about, and I've asked you this before, about your parents. And I ask you this because you have come to a place of forgiveness with them as well, which
mm-hmm.
is absolutely phenomenal, and openness and willingness to be able to forgive. And that's a huge lesson for people.
Yes, yes. So I'll say, you know, do you want me to talk just a little bit about that? I'd love to share that,
yeah.
You know, that's a, you know, some people really don't realize that forgiveness is not for the other people, it's for you.
Mm.
So I did bring them all this material, and they did go to therapy with me. So I was very fortunate in that, you know, so that I went through every resentful, grudgeful thought that I ever had about them. And by the time they both died, I was completely forgiven and resolved with both of them. So I consider that to be a miracle, because my mother especially was a real tough cookie.
Yeah.
And, you know, those of you that are listening who've had, let's say, a challenging mother or a difficult mother will relate that there was a lot of work to do. And that went on for years, by the way. In fact, in one of my books, Transformation Soup, I wrote a chapter called My Mother is No Longer the Problem, Now What?
Well, indicating that she was gone or it was you?
No, it was me.
Yeah.
It was me and my reaction to my mother, and it was me and my inability to forgive my mother, and it was me and my rage towards my mother. I mean, come on.
Wow. Yep. Yeah, and I mean, isn't that usually the case, though? Isn't that the situation that we get into where, if you really look at it, it's not that person so much as is your reflection of that person. I was watching a show Oprah was doing, and there was someone in the audience who was saying, why is it that I always keep, that there are mean people in the world, and that there's mean people at work, and Oprah jumps in and she goes, what are you doing that's attracting that? And
well, yeah, I mean, yeah, and the truth is, you know, we're all so connected, we're all everybody, we've all been monsters, we've all done terrible things, we've all done things we regret. I mean, the truth is, I mean, yes, there was a time to name my abuser, there was a time to be enraged and not forgiving, there was a time for that, and there really is, there are things that happen that if you try to forgive too soon, it's the worst thing you can do.
Mm.
You've got to do your transformational work.
Ah.
Yeah, I mean, we'd all like to forgive. You know, it's very tempting to paste forgiveness on top of. It's like putting forgiveness on top of poop, and taping it there and saying it doesn't smell. So, I'm here to tell you, forgiving too soon is you know, absolutely the opposite of what you want to be doing.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that does make sense. And if you have some time to be able to spend, you have to go through your processes. So what types of processes can you suggest to people as they're writing in here? You know, what do we do? How do you get through that type of transformation? Someone from Fredericksburg is asking, how do you get through that? How do you transition into where you are now? And you never lost that freedom. You never lost that openness. You held on to the playful spirit that you were as a first grader going and doing show and tell with the sixth graders. You have held on to that in such a beautiful, childlike, colorful, inspirational way, and you never had to lose that. You never had to lose that.
Well, thanks, Lisa, and I'm glad that it appears that way. I would say that there were some times where it appeared to be lost, and I would also say that I did a lot of transformation to blend the childlike with the mature adult woman. So that's what it is, you know, that's what it really is today. So I love that question, and I'd love to share the first of several transformational processes I'm going to share on this call. And
okay.
It's something I created some years ago so that I could navigate my feelings. And, you know, I wrote this book, Glad No Matter What, Transforming Loss and Change into Gift and Opportunity. And in that book, I put a feelings menu. And I did that deliberately because I realized that most people, number one, don't know how they feel. Number two, if they know how they feel, they don't know what to do with the feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people are walking around with a lot of untended feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So they're either waiting to talk to somebody who they have the feelings about, or more commonly, they're avoiding or repressing the feelings. And as we all know, food is often used to try to sedate feelings.
As a drug, yes.
Yeah, and we all know this. If we eat a certain number of brownies, we can kind of keep it at bay. Then if we, you know, anesthetizing is another thing, and people use alcohol for that. Well, if I just have two or three drinks, I won't really feel the rage that I feel. And here's what is so tricky. We know that it works in the short term, or at least it appears to work. Like, we get some amount of relief. But the problem is, when we're doing that, the feelings have no choice but to get louder and larger. So while we're having the cocktail and while we're eating four donuts, the feelings are in there going, okay, nobody's on board. Nobody's tending to us. So we have no choice but to get louder now. So guess what louder looks like? Feeling worse and worse. You know, you'll recover from the drinking and the donuts, and then you'll lie there in your bed going, oh, I feel worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's right there ready to meet you. So I understand that's a, you know, it's an upsetting description, but it's true. And
no, it's when you stop anesthetizing, then you realize what the pain is that you've been trying to cover up is wide open and raw.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes,
so
absolutely.
I created this process called three-part harmony. I love names for things, and I love the sound of a musical. I love that it's an idea of a harmony. And it really is a feelings care system. And so I'm just going to talk about part one right now because it's easy for everyone to do, and everyone listening can, you know, either probably not do it right now, but have what they need to do it when we're off the call. So basically it's you listening to your feelings, and there's three keys to it. The first key is to express. So there's, you know, paper and pen is a great kinesthetic way to connect mind, body, and spirit. So for part one of three-part harmony, the way you're going to express your feelings is to write across the top of a piece of paper, and I use recycled paper for this, of course, and then you could use a computer screen, too, if you're more comfortable typing. But you would write the words, I feel, in big letters, and then you would write everything that you can think of that applies to that. Like, here's one I did this morning. I feel angry, worried, nervous, anxious, scared, sad, lonely, mad, frustrated about?
That was just this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I do this every day.
Okay.
So then you make a fast list of everything you can think of that applies, from the tiniest thing to the largest thing. This isn't a list you're going to share with anyone ever, so
okay.
You want to be let yourself be dramatic and theatrical and use exclamation points and just, you know, if you're enraged at your neighbor, write every terrible thought, every feeling, every terrible feeling that you've had about your neighbor, write it down. Because this is how you're expressing.
Okay.
So a few minutes into this fast list, you're going to be experiencing the second key of this part one, which is releasing. This is where it's getting out of your head and onto paper. Because most of us keep recycling, you know, I can't believe my neighbor did that. I can't believe my neighbor did that, you know.
Uh-huh.
So now you're releasing onto paper.
Okay.
And it might be one page, 2 pages, 3 pages. I've done 8 pages before.
Yeah.
But remember, it's a fast list, and you might be repeating things. You're not punctuating. It's like stream of consciousness.
Okay.
So at some point, you're going to run out. You're just going to go, okay, there isn't anything else I feel upset about. And that's when you're going to feel the relief. Because we're not meant to carry around or have unexpressed feelings inside of our heads. And when it's on paper, it's not in your head in the same way.
So relief is the
It's the third key of part one.
And that is, you want to write about the relief?
Well, you could, but you don't have to. This is for part one. Making the fast list will give you all three keys of expressing, releasing, and relief.
Okay. Okay.
So now you're going to fold the list up, if you've put it on paper, and you're going to address it to the universe, or to God, or to the prayer circle, or whoever you think is larger than you and can support you with your feelings.
Okay, okay.
And you put your name in the return address, and guess what? You then put it aside. Now, there is part two to the three-part harmony, which we can get into in a few minutes, but I just want people to ask any questions or sit with part one.
Oh, okay. I'll just give people the opportunity to go to theawareshow.com/SARK. I'm going to read off your questions and so forth, S-A-R-K. So theawareshow.com/SARK. I'll be asking these questions live from the audience. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I just want people to know that this is like good feelings expression equals good mental health. And by the way, this is what is self-care. This is really the cornerstone of self-care. So everyone that's listening that wants to be more self-loving and self-caring, every time I say to someone, how's your self-care practices, you know, people will very usually say one of two or three things. I get as many massages as I can. I take quiet time for myself or meditate. All three things are excellent, but they're not talking about their feelings and how they relate to their feelings and whether they have a feelings care system. Really, this is why I do this just about every day. It's like brushing my teeth or taking vitamins.
This is an interesting, yeah, so that Chris from Ottawa is basically saying she feels, or Chris feels, fear and then happy and then unhappy and disempowered to feeling like a victim and then happy. So Chris's question is, how is it possible to be in this space feeling all of these different feelings at once? It doesn't make sense to this.
Okay. Person. Well, I love that question, mm-hmm. and I want her to know that that's actually completely normal. It's what I started with talking about, the marvelous messy middle.
Right.
That's where you stay out of the extremes. Like, people don't realize that happy and sad are our best friends. They're
mm-hmm.
holding hands.
Mm.
They're related to each other. And,
how so?
Well, it's like there's within every quality, within every feeling quality is the opposite. So when we're sad, we also can have moments of happiness within sadness. So here's an example. I was standing in front of my father's dead body, and he was lying in a hospice, and
wow.
He was there in his plaid flannel pajamas.
Mm.
And my mother grabbed his foot and said, 46 years of fun with this guy. And I didn't realize that doing that would make his body move. So I thought he had come alive. And I said, oh, my God, he's alive. And my mother said, that's ridiculous. I just touched his foot. And I said, well, he would, you know, he would not like that. Anyway, we started laughing. So, I mean, how could we be laughing in the face of your husband and my father's body?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that's a dramatic example, but there's lots of ways. We're meant to have woven feelings. Like, most of us are not taught to hold, how to have or hold multiple feelings. And some of you may relate to this. When I was growing up, you were allowed basically to have one feeling at a time, and you had to go to your room and have it. So there was never, you know, there was never a description like, I feel sad that I wasn't invited to my friend's birthday. I feel happy that I get to go have pancakes with my dad now. You know?
Right.
This is the blending that I'm talking about, and this is the, you know, what she just asked so beautifully, which is the combination. So here's another example of multiple feelings. I feel so glad to go see my mom. I feel sad that she's in declining health. I feel angry that my sister isn't doing more to help.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I feel worried at how our family is going to function if my mother gets worse. I feel anxious at what might be required of me. So there's a whole combination of feelings there, all of which need our attention. Now, before we go further, Lisa, I want to make sure everyone knows that there's a way to attend to your feelings without writing anything down.
Okay.
And it's actually the first and most simple thing you can do, and most people don't understand the value of this. So just want you to imagine you're walking along and suddenly you feel, sad. Let's just use sad for a minute.
Okay.
Most of us will try to walk faster. Or, you know, distract ourselves with music or whatever else. And if you, even for 2 seconds, can say out loud or under your breath, sadness, so just name the feeling, sadness, I see you, I hear you, I acknowledge you. You'll feel your shoulders come down, you'll feel sadness respond.
Right, right.
And there will be a softening, and there will be a changing. And you can do that anywhere. You can do that with kids in the back seat. You can do that at a movie theater. You can do it anywhere.
Ah. And so it's just the feeling heard.
Feelings want our love and attention.
They
want to
be heard.
That's really all they want.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're busy eating and drinking and avoiding and distracting, they have to get louder and larger. So
they're
going to,
they're going to come
they'll
out.
They'll get
somewhere.
You. I mean, they're going to get you.
Absolutely. They'll come out somewhere. They absolutely will. Wow. I want our people to look at the your products. They are so beautiful. I have always been in such affinity, and it's amazing that you have been able to continue with the, I mean, the artwork that you do is, I know it's expensive to produce. I mean, my God, all these colors. Look at, you just have to look at this. It's so beautiful. Go to theawareshow.com/Sark, S-A-R-K, and click on the special offer there. And we've got Sark's Dream Boogie Yourself video, it's MP3, CDS. But the artwork you have is so gorgeous. What is the online program? Because I know that you have the opportunity for people to be with you on a daily basis. Because when you're processing these types of feelings, or when you're exploring your feelings in this way, even going into the future, which we got a lot of comments about that when we just briefly touched on that, Sark. So we're going back to it. I'm guaranteeing the listener we're going back to that, because a lot of people identified with you when you said that. But so what is that, where they get to?
It's so exciting, Lisa. And I don't know if you know, but we just launched a new website yesterday.
Yay! Cool. We get to
I've been on the internet since 1998, and I had a website until 2003, and then I relaunched, and now we've relaunched for today and it really is, it's now Planet Sark, your home for dreaming, daring, and doing.
Mm, wow.
Yeah, and I'm so excited about it. And
how
you'll see a video of me right on the front page, and Oh, my God, I'm so excited about it. I could just rave on and on. And we've been working on it all year, and it just launched yesterday. So
what's the three-part? I mean, the cool thing about this deal that we have right here is that you're getting almost $500 worth of products that you'll see on Zuck's website. But
it's really an unbelievable deal.
It is. I mean, just for you guys on this series, and you are the only ones that know about this offer, is that it's reduced to under $100. And so it gives you the opportunity to either immerse yourself in all of Zuck's products if you're just discovering her, or when you look at the value here, it's incredible and deep. What's the online program, the three-part Harmony one?
Well, I'm super excited about that because that actually launches next week right before Thanksgiving.
Ooh, we scooped it. Ooh.
Yeah, and you did. You totally did. And it's my first real comprehensive video training program. So it's me with you leading you through part one of three-part Harmony and then really taking you through all of part two, which includes your communications with your inner wise self. So I'm really going to be demonstrating and showing that. And then it has all my art-drawn support sheets that come with it.
Wow.
And then it's part three, which is really your glad pages and how to activate more gladness in your life. I'm really proud of it. We've worked on it for months and months and months. And we're, like I say, we're bringing it out just before Thanksgiving. And it's included in this package.
I know, and I'm so excited because to have you as a coach and to take me through something like finding my inner wise self, if I were to do it on my own, I'd just feel like I was crazy. But if you, you taking me through it, it just makes more sense, Zuck.
Well, yeah, and I know, and just to say to people too, and everybody can, you know, do this on their own also. Most people on the call probably know they have an inner wise self. Their higher self, you could call it the Holy Spirit. You know, there's any number of ways you could describe it. But it was with you at birth, and it will be with you long after your death. And it's amazing that people, you know, most people know this, but they aren't necessarily, most people are not activating and using the power of their inner wise self. So people who are wanting coaches, people who are wanting mentors, people who are wanting support, you have it inside of you, and it's free.
Wow.
And so that's what I'm wanting people to hear and know. And I'll just give you a tidbit that you can do on your own.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's really writing a love note from your inner wise self to you. And I'll give you an example because some people won't know. You know, they'll be too scared to start a love note. Like, what does that mean? My inner wise self loves to speak in terms of endearment. I've been communicating with this part now all my life, and it's gotten very strong over the last several years especially, and I know that it's gotten stronger for this time that we're in because I'm supposed to really help everyone wake up this part of themselves. And, but some people don't respond to endearments. Like, some people might think, well, I'm not going to write like that. That's not what my inner wise self would say, and that's totally great. But I'm going to read one from my inner wise self to me, just an excerpt from it that's about a paragraph long.
Okay.
And I wrote, wise self gladly and glowingly speaks. Darling, dearest, sweetest, cutest, most special love story called Susan. I adore you. You can release your attachments to love being delivered in a certain way by specific people at a certain time. You are so deeply loved, and I love you purely, clearly, and dearly. You are safe. There's nothing missing, no love that's lost. Allow yourself to fill back up from the inside. Let love flow freely in and out with no counting or measuring. And I'm just going to read one more because this one's embarrassing, and I think it'll help people even more.
Okay. See what I'm talking about? Where you'd like need Zuck's inspiration to write these. That's beautiful. Okay.
Wait till you write one. You're going to cry.
Okay.
Yeah, I do this with groups all the time, and everyone is able to write something, and most people write, they're really prayers. They're like amazing.
I love that you feel safe. I feel safe. That's a beautiful thing to write to yourself.
Yeah. So okay, here's the next one. To my dearest and most ever-loving radiant bundle called Susan, I adore your people-pleasing, ego-driven, emotional eating, strategizing for contact, and distancing from contact. I love your quest for being met and found and chosen. I love your yearnings. I accept and honor your sometimes fat-feeling stomach and out of controlness in every and any and every dimension. I respect your dislikes, your distastes, and your exuberant welcomings in every way. I celebrate your allowings, your attendances, and your changeability. I trust you. I love you.
Wow, that's inclusive, if I've ever heard it.
Yeah, well, and this is the thing, because, you know, this is the part of us that witnesses everything. It's like the sponges in our sink smell, and we have hairs growing in embarrassing spots, and whatever else it is, this is the part that loves and adores us. And I'll tell you, this is the part that has so much power. When you welcome and activate, like, I'm just giving you a tidbit of, you know, using this, you know, doing the love note, because you can do that right up, you know, today. But in the part two of the video that I'm doing, I'm really showing you how to activate the power, because once you really have the power of this inner wise self, it goes with you everywhere and helps you speak up in any and every situation.
Yeah, so instead of things like, why did I eat that extra piece of cake? I know that it's not good for me. You're talking in this beautiful, inclusive, succulent terms where you're not beating yourself up. Actually, one of the listeners here said, Barb from New York, why do we sometimes self-sabotage ourselves, and how can we work through that?
Exactly. And that's because we're not connected to our inner wise self. So we're believing inner critics. This is what happens when people, and this, I have also an inner critic care system that it's related to the feelings care system, but I talk about it a little bit in part two of three-part harmony. And then I'm also going to be really taking people through a program called the five-point process, and it's a way to dialogue with your inner critics and give them what they need so they stop talking in the ways that they talk that are negative.
Well, okay, I got a question here. But if we are that way to ourselves and we are inclusive about how, you know, accepting ourselves in certain ways, what would prevent us from eating a whole cake and you know,
because your inner wise self, it's kind of like the best parent you could ever imagine. You know, like it knows your nutritional needs, and you know, as we know, if you eat the whole cake, you don't feel good.
Right. So it takes care of you at the same time.
Yeah. Well, you
right.
Yeah, it helps you take care of you.
Right. Okay. Very cool. But that was my inner self talking.
I know.
You like that little processing I'm doing on the call here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Go on. I'll just be quiet over here. You're doing a great job.
Well, it's incredibly effective. I mean, I just want everyone to know, too, that this is all the stuff that I practice. Everything I offer, I'm practicing on a daily basis in using myself. So I know what doesn't work, and I know what does.
I know. That's why I'm asking. I mean, there's some beautifully candid questions on the call here, too. One of the ladies is asking about why do women throw each other under the bus? I love this question. The minute there comes any type of competition, jealousy will come out like its worst, ugliest head. This is Maria from Worcester, and men live by bros before hoes.
Well, and you know, I've certainly experienced that. Probably every woman listening has in some form. And I would also like to offer a reframe.
Okay.
The reframe is that while that does and sometimes occur, we have the opportunity to live our lives in a way where we express jealousy when we feel it. I call it telling the truth faster. You can say to someone, wow, I'm so happy for you, and I have to admit that I'm jealous.
Mm.
And it diffuses it, and it makes it so it doesn't grow in size. That's what's usually happening. People, again, have untended feelings, and they're letting it spill out onto other people.
Hmm. I mean, does that project your feelings onto someone else, though?
No, because you're owning your feelings. So you use I language. I am so happy for you.
Oh, okay.
I'm so excited that you just got gifted a cruise for $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
I need to admit to you that I'm experiencing some jealousy, and I wish I could get a cruise gifted to me. Do you see?
Mm, okay. That's more inclusive,
if you weren't owning your experience, you would say, I can't believe I'm, you know, you would it would be all you, and or you might do a passive-aggressive behaviors like she's talking about. So really, what she's, and I love her question, it really relates again to untended feelings.
Right, feelings not being heard. And that's, yeah, it works with kids. I mean, if you just have them express their first two or three feelings, it usually diffuses them, and we're not that much different. Absolutely. Here's a great question. Gloria from Italy is asking, how do I know if I'm in love? I know this is a silly question, but the reason I ask is because I don't think I've ever been in love and that a man has ever fallen in love with me.
Oh, wow. I love that question.
That's a beautiful question. I love how you inspire people to be so honest.
Well, yeah. And there are no silly questions. I mean, let's be
right.
sure to say that right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say that I think, you know, I mean, that's really like a lifetime question, because I was just pondering this the other day through all my love relationships, like which ones felt like real love. And I think that, you know, when you feel like yourself and even better, not in an idealized way. So I just want to, because the romance phase, we all feel great. We're on drugs. You know,
right.
We're,
mm-hmm.
you know, my therapist used to say it's the phase where you say, he likes to eat dirt and I like to eat dirt.
wow, we have so much in common.
Right. And, you know, so, and then you move into, you know, some call it the individuation, others call it the power struggle. And if you move in and through that, if you're lucky, you get through it, and then you really are in, you know, some version of mature love. So, to answer her question also more specifically, I would say everyone's work is to fall truly, madly, and deeply in love with themselves.
Mm.
I wrote about this in Succulent Wild Woman. I said, marry yourself first. Promise to never leave you. Because many are trying to find love from another. We didn't really talk about this, but I live as much as I can like a full cup of self-love, sharing the overflow with the world. And when I feel like a half-empty cup, which is every day, I do these transformational practices and processes that I'm sharing some of on the call to fill myself back up from the inside. Because otherwise, we're going around like a half-empty cup trying to get filled by this man, by this text message, by that car, by this vacation, you know, whatever it is from the outside. And just to tell everyone, too, I'm talking about pure self-love. I'm not talking about ego-based strategies to try to get something. I'm talking about where, you know, we're all told to love ourselves, but guess what? We're not supposed to ever talk about it.
Well, in what way? Like, what does talking about it sound like?
Lisa, hi, this is Sark. I am so in love with myself.
Yeah, right. It sounds like an egotistical comment.
Uh-huh. Well, and some years ago I was in New York City, and I always tell this story because I was so affected by it. This man was in the elevator that had the best energy I'd ever experienced. I said,
wow,
I said, you have the best energy. And he just smiled, and he said, thank you, I am so in love with myself.
Wow.
And I thought, can he say that?
Right.
And then I really thought, why am I not saying that? Why are we not all saying that? Now, I want to say that it's not always time to go around saying, I'm so in love with myself. Someone just tells you that their mother was diagnosed with a disease. It's
right.
not the time to say, well, that's too bad. I'm so in love with myself.
Right. Yeah.
I'm talking about, but and many people are in love with themselves, but they're not necessarily expanding. You know, love relationship with yourself is just like a relationship with another person. And guess what? We give other people all the latitude in the world. We know they're going to hurt us and disappoint us and forget to call us and forget birthdays or whatever it is. But we don't grant that same expansiveness to ourselves.
This is true. This is true because we've been taught, like you said before, you're conceited, stuck up, all those childhood
things. Oh, yeah, selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Self-absorbed selfish. And indulgent. Don't forget indulgent.
Thank you for throwing that in. I'm asking your questions here. My guest is Susan Ariel Rainbow Kennedy, which we'll talk about how she got her name in a minute, but Sark. And go to theawareshow.com/Sark. So it's theawareshow.com/SARK. Go into the questions section there, and you can enter in your questions. I'm You know, I don't think there's anything you cannot answer, Sark. Because
oh, there isn't anything I can't, you know. Oh, there isn't anything I'm not willing to answer. Let's put it that way.
Okay, so here's a really good one about, oh, gosh, where did she go? How does she, okay, so this is, oh, gosh, I just had it up on my screen. Wait. It was so good. It was about how does she ask for what she wants and feel like she's still taking care of other people?
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, the highest,
who asked that?
This is Christina from New York.
Okay, Christina, brilliant question, because that's what we all want. We want to take care of ourselves and feel that we're taking care of others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the wonderful art of giving and receiving. Now, most of us are extremely skilled in giving. In fact, most of us are overgivers. So we're the ones, you know, we're going to pick up the kids, we're going to drop off the bagels, we're going to be there with the sick friend, we're, you know, all of those wonderful things. And then guess what happens when it's time for us to ask for help? People don't do it.
Hmm.
People carry an internal scorecard around in their head, and they say, I already asked for a ride to the airport, I can't ask it again.
People are
waiting until they're 90 and they have no hair and their electricity has been turned off. That actually was a friend of mine.
Wow.
Who was diagnosed with cancer, lost all her hair, and couldn't pay her bills and was sitting in her apartment in the dark.
Now,
before you think that would never be me, I just want everyone to listen that receiving, if you are practicing receiving, you're going to be a little bit uncomfortable. You're going to feel like you're stretching. So her beautiful question about taking care of yourself and taking care of others involves receiving practice. So most of us don't need any practice giving. Almost all of us need practice receiving. So this is where you call a friend and say, you know what, I'm just feeling really scared. Could you talk to me on the phone for a few minutes? You know, you call a friend and say, I just got home and my car is so full of stuff. Do you have any time to just come over for 15 minutes and help me unload it?
Wow.
And, you know, you ask, you know, so let's just be sure to say, you practice, one of the ways of practicing is you ask, so here's the motto for you.
Okay.
Ask more and more, don't keep score.
Because
here's what most of us do. We ask two people to take us to the airport, and if they don't, we give up. Like, okay, I knew it. I knew nobody would help me. I knew I'd end up being by myself doing this again. I do everything by myself. This is how most people are operating.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, this is why it's so exciting that we're becoming so much more communal. Like, the whole world is becoming communal. We're starting to have, you know, free cycle, you know, where you trade free things on the Internet. I mean, the Internet is fantastic for this.
I know. Isn't it great? You can do house, what do you call them, swaps type of thing for vacations. And, I mean, there's all sorts of terrific things that you can do online, and it's getting to be, you know, there's good screening processes, and it gets
Yeah. Well, and just to go back just one more time briefly to your question, because it's such a good one, and it covers so many beautiful people and subjects. And I would just say that you do your self-love and self-care practices on a daily basis so that you're taking care of you. And that lets you be that full cup of self-love, sharing the overflow. And the overflow is what you're doing to help others. So in other words, people are always pointing out how busy I am, which I am. I'm pretty, you know, I have a pretty occupied full life. And I always have time, you know, for, I stop and do things with, people say, you have no time for that. I just had a friend call and say, you know, I'm just freaking out. I'm trying to write this proposal and I have to leave on a flight in the morning. I can't get it done. I said, let's do it together, 20 minutes, right now.
Wow.
And we did the proposal, and she got it out, and she got the grant that she was after.
Are there a lot of people like you, though? I mean, really, that would do that.
Well, but I think everybody can be that.
Should. Oh, yeah, could. Yep, they absolutely could. Absolutely. Here's a great question, Ellen from Hoboken, along the same lines. How can I add in more fun time for me, play, into my very hectic schedule? All suggestions are welcome, really.
Oh, I love that, Ellen. Well, first of all, you know, in the self-love and self-care category, you know, I have a process called micro-movements that I created about 25 years ago so that I could continue avoiding and procrastinating and still do all the things that I dreamed of. So it's basically taking tinier, it's doing two things. It's realizing that starting is the first thing that's challenging to people. Like, they want to do more fun things, but they don't know where to start.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm always telling people, think tinier. You know, like 5 minutes or less, we can do just about anything. So if you can write down something, so here's one of my micro, I call them micro movements. And
okay.
Here's one of mine. Send a loving text message to myself.
Well, that's interesting. I send reminders to myself via text, but you can actually send, oh, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah, like a little love note.
Like what?
Well, Susan, you are so adorable.
I love that.
And you will forget that you've sent it, and you will get it and be like,
but, I want everyone to do that right now.
Yeah, and so I'm not going to describe the whole micro movement process right now, but what I am going to say is that to think tinier, because if you just get started, this is my 25 years of research shows that 60% of the time you'll keep going. So I started out with micro movements on single post-its or pieces of paper, and if you just put up reminders of things you know you love to do, you know, like whether it's, and then I always tell people so that it's not like a list. Here's an example.
Okay.
Someone wants to create a magical garden because they know that would really help them feel better every day. And so I like to use, this is getting into the system just a little bit, but I use wheels. So I use the center of a wheel and I would write down, create a magical garden. And then I draw lines so that there's like a spokes of a wheel and there's 8 places to write on this wheel.
Okay.
So that's where the micro movements go, in those 8 blank spaces.
Like the flower, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can use lots of things. I mean, I have people that use tickets and put them all in a jar. I mean, it's really a customizable system. So anyway, a micro movement might be to get fertilizer so you can start your garden.
Okay.
But it sounds really boring. Like, it sounds like a job. Like, get fertilizer.
Right. Okay.
And this is why lists, even though they can be great, they also sometimes don't work at all because we just avoid them. Like, okay, I'm still not getting fertilizer 6 months later.
Right.
So this is how you change it. This is where you add your energy, and you might write something like, have a fertilizer adventure.
Oh, I love that reframe. Yeah.
And now you've reframed it, and now you're excited about it. And so here's one more that I'll give right now, and this is a woman who was trying to finish her novel, and I said, what's your micro movement? And she said, get the index cards out of the boxes in my closet. And I said, wow, that doesn't sound very good.
Not a lot of fun.
She said, well, I haven't done it for 10 years.
Oh my goodness.
So and this is common. So her micro movement was suggested by me. She had to cut the session. We were having a phone session. She had to cut it short because she could hardly wait to do this. Was to get the boxes out and hurl them in the air, and wherever they landed, pick up a card and start writing.
Oh!
And she finished her novel that way.
Oh my goodness! Wow!
Yeah.
What a great idea! What a great way to inspire yourself into doing. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have writer's block. That's a great way to figure out writer's block.
Well, not only that, but it works for everything. It works for clutter, clearing, open the door to the room that you're scared of and scream at the top of your lungs. Any new thing that you do. So, it's tempting to get into the whole process, but I'm not going to right now.
It's a good one. I mean, there's so many of these processes in this special offer. I just want to tell people how incredibly playful and helpful. I mean, you could give exercises all day long, but there's hundreds and hundreds of them in the special offer, and it's also almost a $500 offer for under $100, and that's more than a 50% discount, I will have you notice. So here's the website to go to, which is theawareshow.com/Sark, S-A-R-K. There's videos and MP3s and PDFs and all these, and then an online program. So you get to manage your feelings. This is a place for you to go for personal therapy with yourself, with the guidance of someone who has been there, done that. But you know what? The fun things that you do with it is so great. This isn't just listen to yourself bitch and moan. This is make it fun. Turn it around. Be inclusive. I'm noticing your languaging is very inclusive. So here's some – oh, by the way, I want the listeners also on that page there where you go to theawareshow.com/SARC. I want you to text yourself something on that question section, and I'm going to read it. like Wendy says, I'm in love with myself. I mean, I want to hear it. I want to hear it. I want to get it out of you and get it on the platform. And I won't say your last name, and I won't say where you're from. I'm just going to say those things. And so go to theawareshow.com/SARC. And if you don't do it here, then where else are you going to do it? You're going to, you know, get off the phone, then forget about it and go, yeah, that was a great idea. I heard it, and now I'm going to move on to my miserable life. Not allowed to do that today. You're going to type it in, and I'm going to read it.
I love that, Lisa. And let's let everyone know another tidbit they can do right now.
Okay.
Which is to hug themselves.
Oh.
And when I first started this, I felt ridiculous. It was like, okay, what's this going to do? I don't really get it. It's now turned into 5 minutes and more of rolling around in bed, hugging, kissing my shoulders, saying endearing things to myself. And by the way, this is backed up by science. I mean, if you hug yourself, your endorphins will immediately raise. You'll feel like 10 good friends have hugged you, and you will then be able to feel like that full cup of self-love sharing the overflow.
Ooh, it's like a good cup of green tea. All right, so I'm gonna I'm reading here. What have we got? We got Mary Jo. I am a fabulous spirit.
Yes, you are, Mary Jo.
Here's Wendy saying, "I adore you. I adore you, Wendy. I adore you."
Oh,
good. You get to hear it, Julie. I am beautiful, Ellen. I am so amazingly awesome. Plus, I'm just downright cute. I love that. Keep them coming in. Go to that theawareshow.com/SARC. That play with this. Have fun. Be a succulent wild woman for a second, according to Sark's book. It's an incredible permission slip to be wild and be fun and to be loving to yourself. And you can tell the style that Sark has. If you click on the special offer there, the artwork and the playfulness, and it's not like a font that you'll find when you actually open the books. It's all handwritten.
It's my handwriting.
It's your handwriting. It's your handwriting. It's amazing. What do you just like? Oh my gosh! Did they create a font for your handwriting, or does
of
it really?
Of course, I created a font, but it's my handwriting.
I love it.
Handwritten all the books. So.
I love it. That's brilliant. I mean, it's so fun. Dream boogie yourself. Okay, wait. I'm going back to my my succulent. Oh my gosh, Natalie, I am hot. Okay, we have Patty from Fredericksburg. Namaste to you gorgeous divine beings of light and love. That's back at you. Back at you, Patty. This is Amy from Santa Fe. I am amazing.
Oh, I love this.
Come on, I am hot. That's just great. You are, obviously.
I feel so, it's that wonderful connection feeling. And I want to let everyone know that it's glad hearts that truly give. If you think of the word glad, give lovingly and daringly. You know, so for people who get worried that they're doing too much about themselves, I'm just here to tell you that you will give more than you ever dreamed of when you're fully engaged, loving yourself, tending your feelings, and communicating with your inner wise self.
I love that. And, okay, question coming in from the audience. How do you reframe frustration? Reframe frustration with a project.
Best way to, okay, so this is where I'm going to tell just a little peek about part two, because I want people to know of three-part harmony, because this is where the reframe comes in.
What do you mean part two?
Well,
the three-part, okay, got it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I described part one. So part two is where your inner wise self and you reframe every item on the part one list. So remember that part one list that you folded up and put away?
Oh, yeah, the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You're going to
uh-huh.
open that back up. So I recommend that people do part one every day. I recommend people do part one and two once a week. So meaning you're once a week, when you have 15 to 20 minutes, you're going to sit with your inner wise self activated, and you could start with a little love note so that you activate your inner wise self. Then you're going to take each of the items of that fast list of frustrations and angers and things that you wrote down, and you're going to reframe each one. So here's an example. If my neighbor, here's something I wrote on page one, on one of my part ones the other day. If my neighbor slams the door one more time, I'm going to rip it off the hinges.
Okay.
Okay? So how did I reframe that frustration? I went in part two with my inner wise self, and I said, oh, honey, I hear how irritated you are. It's okay. Remember when they brought you flowers for your birthday? Or no, remember when they brought you flowers when you were sick, because that's what they did. And it turned the whole thing around. Like, yes, the door still slammed. Oh, you can, and remember, you can ask them calmly to close the door more quietly, which I've now done. And that changed everything. Like, yes, they might still slam the door, but guess what? I don't have the same reactive frustration.
Okay, here's a good one. Gina from Santa Monica. I can't stand airport security. The last time I was in airport security, the TSA officer asked if she could touch my butt.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right.
I went through this, too. I was just coming back from Canada, and he said, you know, this woman here needs to pat you down. And she was wearing these gloves, and she really scared me. And I said, I will not have her touch me. And he said, well, then you have a choice to go into this cabinet, you know, to be scanned. And I said, fine, put me in the cabinet. You know, in other words, these are not, you know, yes, they have authority, and yes, they are the TSA, but they are not the, you know, you are not their prisoner.
And they are trained to, I mean, really, they don't respond. She just really, 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 really can't stand them.
Yeah, so
okay,
so the reframe, and I would just offer one more reframe there. I would certainly have, you know, I would have my feelings as she is sharing, and then I would do my feelings care system. I would do a part one and say how enraged I am and how dare these people touch me and how dare he talk to me that way. And I would then do a part two and reframe each of those so that you don't have those, you won't have those experiences. You'll find lovely TSA people who are kind and helpful.
So you have to go into it saying, I'm going to find kind and helpful TSA.
But only, let's be clear, only when you've done your transformational work. Because if you try to just find the kind people, but you're still feeling frustrated, you're going to attract the people that frustrate you.
This is true. This is true. And I think the bottom line is because she feels she doesn't have a choice. I mean, that's true. Our choice is taken away from us with these.
Well, it can feel that way, but it's actually not true. You can call for another person. You can say, I would like the head of TSA to be called right now. I would like to go through a different line and not engage with this person. You have a lot of choices.
Well, yeah, it makes you feel like, I guess they do make you feel like you don't, because it really feels invasive. There was a whole show on this, like 3 hours. But there, where... If you're traveling and you're trying to get your flight on time, you could spend hours there fighting for your choice. But
well, yeah, you have to fight efficiently and skillfully. You know, you can't activate a power struggle, because that's what happens.
Right.
If you just try to match them and say, I'm not going to do it your way, you're going to activate them fighting you.
That's
so believe
true.
Me, I get my way every time, and they don't even know it that I've done it.
Interesting. So how would you reframe that? Give me the SARC version.
Well, the SARC version would be, are you talking about her question of not wanting to be touched on her butt?
Specifically, yeah, like not wanting to be touched or radiated. Right.
Yeah, first of all, I would say, I'm not comfortable being touched by anyone. So what other options do you have for me? And then, you know, they always have to offer and then they assure you that there's no radiation. I mean, I don't believe that a five-second exposure is going to cause any harm.
Right.
You
well,
just go in the box, and then you just get away from them.
And you become more neutral, but you...
You do. You awaken. You really have your wise self right there, so that you are empowered and you feel supported. Because once your wise self is really activated and working for you, it's standing right there. It's larger than you. It's larger than the TSA agent. And it will help you in every situation.
Right. Yep. I mean, a lot of people are, you know, identifying with this as well. Back to the question about asking people for help. This person says, I cannot imagine asking someone to help me unload my car. Everyone else is so busy. How would they ever have time for something so silly? And they normally won't pick up the phone.
Oh, I know. I know.
Where's LA coming from here?
Well, then that's a beautiful question. And I think, and that speaks for a lot of people.
Sure.
I mean, that is really, you know, because the truth is we are all busy. And the truth is sometimes people don't answer their phone. And the truth is, why can't you just unload your own damn car? I mean, that, you know, that is what we do. That is what we do inside of our heads.
Uh-huh.
But I want everyone to hear this. If you allow someone to help you unload your car, you're giving them an opportunity to be generous. And if you ask someone for help and have no expectations or attachments, I just did this yesterday. I pulled in. I had a full car. I called my friend. I said, if you have any energy, I'd love some help unloading my car. I texted
them.
Yeah,
if you do give people the opportunity, there's a mom here at my daughter's school, and she has an eight-year-old little girl, and she had to go in for lung surgery yesterday.
Mm.
And I was leaving town, and I really wanted to help because I know nobody wants to see their baby, you know, go through lung surgery. So I just put an email out to the moms before we left, and I said, listen, this is what's happening. If anybody wants to participate, you know, go for it. I'm out of town for 3 days, and I'll be back Thursday and pick up where you guys leave off. And the moms just totally organized. They, one chipped in a basket to put the toys in, one chipped in the teachers chipped in making cards for all the other students. I come back today, and there's this beautiful, like, thing sitting in the classroom ready to be picked up. And no one was in charge. Nobody led it. It was just a community outreach. You give people the opportunity, and they will come forward with love and support and kindness if you put it out there in that way.
Right, and then let's talk about what happens when they don't, because it's really important for people to hear this. So
Okay. Yesterday
when I texted a friend and said, could you help me unload the car, and I didn't hear back.
Oh, now, yeah.
And in those times, it's very tempting to make up a story. You know, the person doesn't want to help. This always happens to me when I ask for help. This is why I don't ask for help. So remember when I said ask more and more, don't keep score?
Right.
So this is the chance to practice, because what I ended up doing was unloading half the car, half the stuff in the car, and then I was tired and laid down. My friend showed up later and said, oh, I wish I could have helped you. I said, don't worry, you still can. And I said, here's the other half of the stuff. And he said, no problem. I have plenty of energy. I'm happy to move it. You go lie down and I'll bring it up.
Mm.
And so I'm just saying that it may not look exactly, you may not get the exact help at the exact time in the exact way, but when you open up the channel to allow others to help you and ask more often without keeping score, you're going to be amazed at what comes your way.
Yeah, that is a great, great point. Here's a great question from Tricia in Denver. Can you talk about how to take compliments gracefully? Great question.
Yes.
Oh, I love this. This is women supporting. And men, too. Feel free. I mean, it's all
good.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, this goes to self-love again, because when you are really accepting that you love yourself and someone gives you a compliment, you will just radiate love right back to them. They'll say, you know, what is her name again?
Tricia.
Tricia. They will say, you look so beautiful today. And you will just smile, and you will beam at them, and you will say, thank you so much. And that immediately delivers. So here's how she can think of it too, Tricia. You can think of it that you then re-deliver that compliment back to them.
Re-deliver the compliment back to them. Hmm.
So not only have you received it, you've re-delivered it.
So you look great today, Sark.
Thank you so much, Lisa. So do you feel it?
Oh, in saying that, I get it. Okay.
Yeah,
because normally people would say, so do you.
Right. But then you're not really taking in, you're not taking in their gift.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah, that's a great point. I got to read these comments coming in. These are so great. Okay, we're playing a game here. Go to theawareshow.com/Sark, S-A-R-K, and you are typing in your text to yourself. Here's your text to yourself, and I'm going to read them just by your first name. So we ended with Natalie saying, I am hot. Uma is saying, Uma, you are the most amazing woman I know. I'm making these alive for you, ladies. Sharon says, I am an awesome partner with my inner wise self. Here's a really great one. Rita. Darling girl, when I saw those beautiful, sparkly blue eyes and a glimpse of those cute dimples, my spirits were lifted, and I couldn't wait for our quiet time together tonight. That is so
fabulous. Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. These are fun. Patty from Fredericksburg, by the way, happy birthday to me. Who loves you, baby? That's cute. It's her birthday, so why not? So, okay. Uma again from Chicago is asking, every time her hubby stares at his BlackBerry, she, you know, she wants to grab it and hurl it.
Yes.
So,
yes.
All right. So how does she reframe it?
Yep. Well, first reframe is to love herself. In such a way, love herself and practice loving herself, because it's, by the way, a practice. So you don't just decide to love yourself and then every day you love yourself. It's not how it works. So engaged in the practice of self-loving, it would be good for her to think of another thing that the BlackBerry could represent. So something I would recommend as a reframe is, could she think that every time he looks at his BlackBerry, he's saying, I adore my wife.
Hmm. That's what she wrote. She said, remember the last time he called to say he loves you, that she is reminding herself of the last time he called to say he loves her. So you're saying that every time he looks at his BlackBerry, he's saying how much he adores his wife?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Very, very nice. Now, that's a beautiful way of doing that. I want to actually invite listeners to call in directly. If you want to speak with Sark directly, we have a few minutes left, Sark, and if some people want to ask you questions directly, is that okay?
Oh, of course.
Oh, goody, because you're so good. I mean, you're so great to have on this call and so full of exercises and tidbits and information, and it's just who you are. The people.
Well, yeah, and you know what I just realized? I wanted to have started with this, and so let's do it now. My purpose in life is to be an uplifter, a transformer, and a laser beam of love, and I do it through my art and my words and my spirit.
Hmm. I'm writing this down. Laser beam of love. Okay. And you do this through your what?
My art and my words and my spirit.
I'm going to quote you. Okay. Beautiful. 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 All right. You press *2 to raise your hand. Press *2 to raise your hand, and you can ask Sark a question directly. And in the meantime, while those questions are coming in, you could also go to the website, your audience dashboard for the day. It's theawareshow.com/Sark, S-A-R-K. And if you click there on the question section, it's right there in front of you. You can ask questions. I can also continue to ask those live on the call. And also scroll down to the special offer button, and really I want you to take a look at Sark's beautiful, beautiful artwork. I mean, Sark has been expressing herself through her colorful, playful artwork for years, and it's inviting. I have one of your blankets sitting right actually on the couch across.
Oh, I love that.
I have
that.
Your freedom to nap, your nap blankets. I just have it just right over there. It's beautiful. What are they called again?
The blankets.
Yeah, really? Wow, profound. Good stuff. All right. Thanks. Okay, we're going to New York City, New York. I think it's Brenda Johnson. Do you have a question for Sark? Hello?
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Okay, I'll hold on. There she. Okay, that happened.
Get me?
Yes, I did. All right, my New York City, New York girl.
I want to say hello to both of you. I'm listening because I'm also a healing practitioner, and I was listening to much of what you were saying and impressed, so that we can all add new things to our coffers. I don't have a question. I just had the comment that I was grateful because I know we're in this transformational period, and I think not only initiates, but I also think practitioners are being upgraded and uplifted and turned around and making us look at ourselves daily. And I like the fact that you say you do that. Although the one thing that you didn't say, which I do is like I do meditate. And I think that along with having substance in your life where you do acknowledge the higher self on another level and meditate, I think all of it. But I think if you meditate and you don't do this work, then you're meditating and the glass is still half empty.
Yes. Brilliant.
Interesting.
Well said.
Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
I appreciate your feedback. That's very cool. That's true as well. Thank you for that. Doing the inner work as well. And we have, yeah. Now, a lot of the listeners are asking that I go back into the conversation you started off with about the future, and it really lit up a lot of people, and I got to tell you why. And I knew this would happen. The people that are resonating with you, that have been there with you, are hanging on to those words that has not been heard before, and I want you to talk about that. Can you? It sounds so alive and so real. So Sark said at the beginning of the call that she doesn't feel like, what did you say, that you come from a past, you come from the future?
I don't have past lives as much as I have future lives.
Future lives, right.
So I have distinct memories of ways that I lived in the future and what the future looked like, and just so excited for all of us and what lies ahead.
Explain. Give me visions. Give us pictures.
Oh, my
okay?
goodness. Well, probably the closest thing that's come to it so far is the movie Avatar.
Right.
Not the fighting part, because that was completely misconstrued, in my opinion. But the part, you know, the part where people were communicating without words. There was, you know, we're telepathic creatures. And we keep on thinking, you know, we need all these devices. And they're all fine and play, they're teaching us, and they're perfect. But I'm just saying that in the future, you don't need them.
Because we just are one mind?
It didn't occur to me like that as much as it just was effortless communication without, just through telepathy.
What's it look like in the future? What's it look like?
Well, you know, it's hard to describe because I just have like images and kind of,
give me colors, give me images.
Well, like, you know, that I just remember all these blended colors. I remember things were so much brighter and more expansive and easier. Like there's such an expansive quality. Like right now, you know, there was no need for walls or roofs.
Hmm.
You know, and I often think of this, like if we went over every city and we lifted off the rooftops, we would see all the people, you know, cooking in their kitchens and curled up in their beds, and we would see how connected we all are. We would see how similar we are.
Oh, doing kind of similar things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a way in which there was community. All I can say is without walls, without roofs, without need for devices, and there was a... The feeling that I got from that time, you know, and it's very interesting to talk about, but the feeling that I got from that time was, you talked about inclusion. It was so inclusive. Like, that's what's exciting about, you know, some of the movements that are going on now and some of the ways that people are speaking and some of the, because it really, it's for everyone and not just for the ones who have the money or the ones who have the skills or the ones, it really was for everyone.
So no one was left out? There was no one left behind?
No, there was no one abandoned.
And how did food happen or any?
Well, it's very different. We didn't need the same kind of food. So there was a lot of osmosis.
Hmm.
So it was a lot more like take the idea of juicing right now and just expand it to a, you know, like a micro, like, it's like micro gardens and micro, like, I just remember all kinds of ways of ingesting things that was not eating with our mouth. It was like breathing was eating.
Hmm.
So it was nourishment occurred in other ways.
Mm-hmm. Ah, and what about, so we're connected, what about, you mentioned energy, how is light and energy achieved? This is a conversation we're having about Sark's future self.
Yeah, well, you know, again, it's like energy was so much more expansive, like, you know, wind energy, sun energy. They've already started this, but, you know, using basically dog poop as fuel.
Interesting, like vegetable oil as gas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and because that's what I mean
everything.
Pardon?
Utilizing everything.
Utilizing everything and utilizing what we already have.
Huh. Hmm. Was there plastic?
No, no need for plastics.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, going to the listeners are asking, and that was beautiful. Thank you for doing that. I threw you into that one.
Oh, that's fine. It was wonderful to talk about.
Yeah, thank you. Listeners asking if you went over the third steps. You said that there were three things to write on paper. One, how you feel.
I did, yeah. And all of it is, again, described, not just described, but all of it is on the videos with three-part harmony that'll be part of that package that we're offering.
Yeah, let's go back to that. Go to theawareshow.com/SARC. And this is the actual, going through these lessons where you get to the program that SARC has here, the three-part harmony program, is as interactive as it can get on the online platform, where you enter in questions and feelings and takes you to the next step and to the next step, and it guides you through the, and I love this technology. It's a beautiful way to really assist you in your own time, in your own space, in your own environment, and through each one of these, through this writing process. And then when you get to the, what your feelings and releasing them and the relief, do you go to the next step of then creating what you want in that space?
Well, yes. I mean, yes and no. You're going to be shown how to do this, and then you're going to be invited to take the practices and apply them. But you're really, I'm going to really show in detail the inner wise self. So part two is but let's answer her question. Part three is the glad pages. So the really brief version I can tell you now is to write down all the things you're glad about and then make a list. I do this actually every day in a journal. Some of you are already doing this with gratitudes, appreciation, so all the things to appreciate. And let's be sure to tell people, Lisa, that because I have never assembled so many things in one place before.
Okay, you got to tell me about that, right?
I'm so excited because I have this Writer's Wisdom series that is changing the entire paradigm of publishing, because what I've done is had conversations. They're interviews, but I really am calling them conversations because they're so... Oh, my God, this is my publisher who's barefoot. He's most often barefoot. He's from Hawaii. It's a New World Library Publishing Company, and he talks so beautifully about being a publisher and inviting writers.
Oh, and Mark Allen, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I had a first-time author, Amy Ehlers, whose book has just become a national bestseller.
I just interviewed her. She is
Isn't
so
she fantastic?
Fabulous. She talks about your inner mean girl, and she has an inner mean girl reform school.
Yep.
I loved that. Yes.
So I have a conversation with her, and then I interviewed my editor, Jason Gardner, who really talks so beautifully about what an editor does for writers, because so often it's thought of as, they'll change my words, they'll ruin them, he is the most, just a skillful and benevolent guide for writers. And so we have all three of those conversations in the Writer's Wisdom series. Then we have this is the part, I can't believe that my team put this together, and I said, are you kidding me? Is this all $97?
Go
I mean,
team.
I really, yeah, I mean,
you.
Go team. So Dream Boogie is really dancing from dreaming to doing, and it's the course that I've offered, and we turned it into a self-study course. So it's really called Dream Boogie Yourself, and it has 8 videos that are me in my house in San Francisco. Incredible, inspiring, funny, real me. There's 18 MP3s and there's 8 PDFs. I mean, it's like a rocket ship to make your dreams real.
Wow.
And then we have the three-part harmony, which we've been talking about, which is my first comprehensive video course with support sheets that I just hand drew, so I know how great they are.
Wow.
Then we're also giving SARC in Your Pocket, and that is an MP3 and PDF, and it's me reading my first book, A Creative Companion. And it has music, it's just fabulous, and then it has a downloadable book that goes with it. And then we're also giving an MP3 where I launched my new book, Glad No Matter What, Transforming Loss and Change into Gift and Opportunity. And we have Neil Donald Walsh on there and Ariel Ford and Alan Cohen. And we did, like, just, all of that together, what did you say? It's like a $500 value for $97.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's also, this is the first time it's been launched.
Well, the first time, and it's the last time.
It's the last time.
I mean, won't be doing, it'll be on, things are individual, they'll be on the site, it's not going to be done. We did this for your show, Lisa.
Thank you, and thank your team.
And your people, your listeners.
Yes.
I mean, that's why I wanted to do this with you, because I love the active transformational change agents that you have and that you draw to you.
Wow. You know what? Thank you for that. Thank you so much for that. And the listeners I really want to drive home what this deal is because of the Aware Show, and you guys are knowing about this series and that you're on this call and you're in this, you're in the know. You're in this community. And think about the holidays. I mean, I've thought about this often. To go grab a $500 offer for under $100, how many people could I give this to? I'm going to order like five because I know the beauty in what you're offering here. And there's physical items and there's gorgeous PDFs that people can download. And there's just the transformation that it dishes up here is just gorgeous. And there's CDs that come to you. So there are a lot of incredible things in this. And it offers transformation as a gift for you and for other people at an amazing price. So this is one of the things that, I mean, if you're looking to have a personal coach in the comfort of your own living room, going through your own processes together and coming out happy and fulfilled and dancing, then this is an amazing opportunity to be able to unleash your spirit and feel heard and then feel fresh and alive. And it's just a gift for yourself, and you could get it as a gift to other people too, because the holidays are coming up and this is a good time for that. I just want to say thank you. You're unreal. I mean, you are real. Actually, you're real. You are real.
I am. I'm splendidly imperfect, and again, I'm practicing. Please know how much I'm practicing with all the things that I'm sharing, because, it can be tempting when you hear someone through a show or on the radio or anywhere, somehow they have it figured out. And yeah, there may be certain things I've figured out that help, and I'm practicing. So we're all transformational change agents with the opportunity to practice and continue to expand. That's what's so exciting. Lisa, did I ever share this quote with you that I wrote? The opposite of old is not young. The opposite of old is new.
Is new.
And as long as we continue to experience the new, we will gloriously inhabit all of the ages that we are.
So the opposite of old is new.
No, the opposite of old is not young. The opposite of old is new.
Yeah, I went right to this. I like that. Well, that's perfect. And such a great way to wrap up today. I could talk to you forever. But I can now that I've got to
start
in your pocket.
Yeah, in some way you always do. Remember telepathy?
Yes, we are one mind. Yes. Yep, absolutely. Oh, my goodness. That's a really great concept, to be one mind with you. That's fun. Hey, thanks for that. I just went into the elevator and pushed up and found you. I love it.
Well, and Lisa, do we have just another minute or two?
Definitely.
Okay.
All day.
I wanted to teach everybody I wanted to share the self-love song.
Okay.
So it comes from the 1950s, and I brought it back.
Okay.
So I'm going to sing it, and so everyone can – I'll sing it once, and then if people want to sing along at home, they can.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Okay, I am.
I love myself. I think I'm grand. I go to the movies just to hold my hand. Me, me, me. I. Me, 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 I.
Love it.
Okay, I'll do it one more time.
Okay.
I love myself. I think I'm grand. I go to the movies just to hold my hand. Me, 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 I. Me, 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 I. And let
Beautiful.
Me just say again that self-hugging and singing a self-love song is not, so that you can just think you're so nifty and other people, good luck to them. This is about you loving you so that you can be that full cup of love, sharing the overflow with the world. And if you think you can give now, wait till you see what happens when you expand your self-love capacity. And when you activate that inner wise self, you'll be astounded.
It is the bottom line of everything. Absolutely. It is. It is. And you know what? I just have to thank you so much, because we're wrapping up our series with you, and what a great person to cement in all the learnings that we have gone through over this last 12-week journey.
Oh, I'm so honored. And I just want to offer a reframe on the cement. It's the cement that you can draw in. It's before it dries.
Oh, that's a fun one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, preserve. How about strawberry preserves in the learning? I like that one. There is one more call coming up with Colette Baron-Reed next week. I'm sorry, with Shakti Gawain. Hello.
Oh, that's even better. I love Shakti. And can we just celebrate creative visualization? Because that has so much to do with me finding my magic cottage in San Francisco and starting my whole business and my life and my career.
Did we talk about that for a second? Because it started me, too, on my journey when I was 12 years old. That was the very first book I read on personal development. And I picked it up and I went, you can do what?
Oh, Lisa, that's perfect.
How?
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I had an awakening with the spiritual teacher Krishnamurti. And I was like 10 years old, a Lutheran girl in Minneapolis, Minnesota, reading Krishnamurti. And I went and told my parents, I love God, but I have other spiritual teachers.
You do. Then you are. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right. Right, and so that, yeah, the Creative Visualization, it was a seminal book that Shakti Gawain, the author, came up with, and she is actually co-creator in New World Library, the company with Mark Allen that Sark is also a part of, and it's a wonderful company of conscious books and incredible leaders in the company. So, yes, it's also incredible. So listen to that call next week with Shakti, and also pick up Sark's special offer, because it will go away, by the way. It's got to go back to her beautiful new website. So get it while it's hot, like hotcakes.
Like pancakes.
Mm-hmm. Good one.
Oh,
great,
Lisa,
maybe.
And everyone listening, what a wonderful, thank you for uplifting me. I was a little tiny bit tired after the launch, and this just lifted me right up.
Oh, my gosh. Well, me too. Thank you so much. And the wonderful green tea that Christy brought me. Thank you, Christy. She's sitting right next to me.
Oh, before we go, let's give everyone the inspiration phone line, because that's a free, wonderful way to connect with me, and it's 415-546-3742, 415-546-EPIC, E-P-I-C. It's also on the front of my new website if you forget it. And it's really a five-minute love note from my inner wise self to yours.
Oh, beautiful. I'll call it now. All right.
Oh,
I love that. Thank you for offering that to people. And for all of you, also go to the website, which is theawareshow.com/Sark. Check out the special offer, because Sark's products are so unique with her artwork and her open and playfulness that allows you to be that same type of way. And also there is a thank you gift on the bottom of that for you as well. So if you scroll down, 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 you'll see the recording that she was talking about, which is the Glad No Matter What MP3, an amazing book as well as CD series there. So, I mean, it's a great one. Anyway, thank you so much, Sark.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. Thank you. What a gift you are, and what a blessing. And thank you so much to every soul listening.
And you as well. Thank you for the inspiration that you have served to all of us with who you're being and with your love and openness. And I just love you so much. Thank you so much.
Oh, Lisa. Succulent wild woman. Thanks
yep.
a lot.
Okay. Until next time, okay?
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, go to that website, enjoy, cozy up, take you yourself on a journey, and enjoy the products here that are on this. Sark, I didn't know that, you know, she is launching this website and that these products are indeed scooped exclusive for the Aware Show listeners, for you specifically. In a couple of days, they will go back onto her website. Well, they're already existing there. So at like $500, these are under $100, and you can experience all this wonderful openness that you hear in her voice. So I so appreciate and enjoy and love you taking this journey with me. And so, continue listening, but until next time, I invite you to stay aware.